Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Talk Manchester United with Faithless Red Army. I'm your host, Red Oldham, along with Matt Hutchinson and PK, Patrick Kelly. Ryan Kazad is out on assignment. We were talking last week, guys. We're always out on assignment, but we never come back with any information. So I don't know what's going on with that.
I think that's what we do. I've been making the joke that we can't fill a full roster just like Manchester United.
Boy, hey, and we're going to talk about that today with nine people on the injury list for the Liverpool match. But, guys, for starting off with this week in Manchester United history, I'm actually cheating a little bit since I wasn't here last week. On December 3rd, 2005, one of the saddest days in Manchester United history, George Best's funeral takes place in his hometown of Belfast. It is treated as a state event with government, political parties, sporting organizations, and police represented, along with a host of sporting stars like former Manchester United teammates Dennis Law and Harry Gregg, who are all pallbearers and current Reds boss Sir Alex Ferguson. So, guys, just a sad day in history. So when we go up in the spirit of the sky, there's our guy, Georgie Best. So, all right, guys, let's get on to so much to talk about here. Our show, guys, is going to consist of talking about the Fulham recap, which seems like forever ago, talking about the missed opportunity at Valencia. We're going to touch on that for a little bit, talk about the massive derby coming up here with Liverpool, and then also talk a little bit about transfer rumors, and then we will talk about Derby Day. There's an Ashley Cole kit giveaway, and then also we're going to have some information for you guys about scarves. So starting off, though, let's go ahead with that Fulham game. Guys, that was a fun game to look at. And, PK, let's start off with you. And, Diego Dalot, man, bombing down the wing. Boy, that was so fun to see, wasn't it?
He was playing fearless soccer. It looked like he was just out there to have fun and enjoy his football. That was a game that so many times this season we've wanted Manchester United to play against what should be cleanup games, and we haven't done it. This is the first time all season we've done it, and it looked incredible. And like Delo was, I'm excited for the kid. He's playing fearless soccer right now, but we'll see what happens in a couple more games when he starts getting punched in the mouth a little bit.
Well, most definitely. But Matt, I don't see Delo actually being on the pitch against Liverpool, though. Do you?
I think it's going to be too big of a game, too big of a moment for him. The only thing that would get him out on the field is the injury crisis that we have right now, especially in the back. So Jose may be forced to play him, but if there's an option not to, I would not put him out in this game. I think the moment's going to be too big for him.
But Matt, though, Ashley Young's still showing the quality, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch him come back against Fulham, and I think it definitely showed that he needed some rest after a long summer and coming right back in, and he was right back at it. I mean, so much comes from him being able to just bomb down the wing and send such a good ball into the middle. So we definitely benefited from that. It was wearing Fulham out, and they didn't quite know how to stop him, and he was having quite the day.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And so and I love seeing that. You know, I know we keep converting these midfielders, PK, to those wingback positions. Do we see Juan Mata becoming a wingback in the future?
No, I don't think he has the pace for it or the size. He's done well. He's a very much a situational player. It seems like he does a lot better when he gets to watch the game for 60 minutes and go in with direction. But still, I think he's a very, very good asset to this club, and I'm glad he's with the team.
Well, I tell you what, I love watching smart players. I mean, in any sport, I love watching those cerebral players, and I just feel like Juan Mata is just that kind of guy. PK, it was really fun watching Lukaku's goal, not the tap in. I mean, I'm glad he got on the score sheet, but PK, wasn't it fun watching a goal coming right off the training ground?
I think the guys are starting to buy in either to each other or to Josie. Just the way they played against Fulham, I know it's Fulham, but you saw smiles on their faces. I mean, it's easy to do when you get a good lead early. But, the training ground stuff, you have to believe in. You can practice it all you want, but if you don't believe you're going to score, it's going to work, it doesn't matter. Your heart has to be in the training ground plays. And that's the plus side that I saw from them is they were bought in. They believed in what they were trying to do, and they capitalized on it, and it's just going to build momentum.
I think so, too. Matt, I'm going to pick on you a little bit because I know you're not a Jose fan, but it seems like that the boys just continue to score off of set pieces and very rarely through the run of play, and, of course, those set pieces are a direct reflection of the manager. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think that it's sometimes creating a situation where we're almost having to create goals from those set pieces. And some of that is just a lack of ability to create anything during open play just from a lack of consistency.
No, I think so too. Although Matt and I like to have a lot of fun poking each other about Jose Mourinho, because I am a Jose Mourinho supporter. But at the end of the day, I mean, we do have problems on the club, but I do love seeing those goals off the training ground. And it was just fun watching the boys play with some reckless abandon and having some fun. At the end of the day, though, as you guys said, it is Fulham, and Claudio Ranieri just hasn't brought the magic quite yet. I may lose my 100 quid this year. So, guys, let's move on to Valencia. All right, and so, PK, starting with you. Here we had the young boys beat Juventus, for God's sake. I mean, we had a chance to win the group. Had eight new starters out there. Were we just looking ahead to Liverpool? Is that all you can say about this?
100%. Whether we want to finish first in the group or not, we're going to have a tough battle the next round. So you kind of mail that game in. I think it's let's get out of there without injuries, and if we get a win, great. But our job's already done with the group. We're already through, and we've got a massive, massive game Sunday. So I don't mind them looking past that game one bit.
Yeah, yes and no. I would have loved to have won the group. That would have been just such a coup, to get there, But I really felt like that we just really lost a great opportunity. Matt, I need to talk to you about one of our signings here. We just talked about DeLow, and we really liked how he looked in that Fulham match. Fred, guys, he was known as the conductor at Shakhtar. Boy, I mean, just would, really dictate the run of play. We really thought he was going to be like a Conte from Chelsea. Quite frankly, guys, he just looks lost. Lost possession 13 times, didn't produce a single key pass, won 25% of his aerial duels. Guys, that's just not good enough. And so, Matt, what do you think about Fred? I mean, is this kind of a lost year for him, or can he turn it around before it's over?
I think it is going to be a lost year for him. It reminds me of what happened with Mkhitaryan when he first came on with United. He certainly seemed lost when he was trying to figure out his way at United. I was very vocal about being supportive about Fred when we first signed him. I thought it was a fantastic signing. I thought he was going to be the guy who was going to free up Pogba. I think he's really struggled to settle into the Premier League. I think the speed has been a bit overwhelming for him. You see him get run down all the time, or guys blow past him. The physicality of it, he's getting knocked around a lot. So I think the confidence is extremely low. So even though it was a Champions League game, and maybe you think playing over in Europe is going to be a little more beneficial to him, he has not been able to establish himself into any sort of role whatsoever. He can't get consistent game time, and I don't think he's quite figured out what his role really is supposed to be with the rest of the team. So I think it's just one of those things where I think this is just going to have to be chalked up to a lost year for the guy and hopefully find a different way for him to settle in, and maybe next year's the year he takes off.
You know, I was really hoping, PK, that Pierre would come in and really assert himself. You know, he's been very vocal about winning game time, and that was another situation where he didn't come through. And so, but the question I'm going to pose to you is, Jose Mourinho is often criticized for having a different lineup all the time. But at the end of the day, PK, I just don't think he has a midfield that he can trust right now. What do you think?
I agree. I think a little bit of that, and going back to Fred a little bit, is I don't think they know their exact role. I think a little bit on that's Josie switching up tactics and techniques. But at the end of the day, you're a professional. You need to go out there and give 100%. You know, there's a lot of jobs open right now for the team. There's no one, no besides De Gea, there's no solid penned in, markered in fixture every match. So, if you're vocal and say you want to play, show it. You know, I should speak louder than words. There's a lot of words going on right now.
Matt, I tell you, Paul Pogba, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on Pogba. All I'm going to say is 6-yard box, sitter, doesn't convert. Paul Pogba, I'm tired of the hairstyle, the Instagram, the rumors, the manager talk. At the bottom line, end of the day, I want the guy to produce. Matt, where are we at on Pogba? There's a lot of rumors about him going back to Juventus. Do you think those are valid?
I'm sure there's a high level of frustration. I mean, back to the goal. You mentioned the goal as a sitter. I think that's one of those goals where you hit that 99 times out of 100. I think it was just happened to be the one 100th time he misses it. It wasn't – he still had to do a little bit of work to get it in, and it was just, you know, it was just a missed goal. It happens. But overall, I think what we've learned is Pogba still has a long ways to go in terms of his maturity. He has not handled himself extremely well. He's very erratic throughout the course of a game. And even during this game against Valencia, there were times where he looked like he was up for it. He was being very aggressive. He was knocking the ball around. And then other times where there just seemed to be that one little bit of lack of concentration, like that one missed goal. So it has been a problematic year for him. And I don't know that he's getting the best support from the manager. I don't know that Jose's trying to encourage him and get him confident in himself. And so that's where we're really struggling. But it's kind of been representative of what this whole team's been about this whole year, which we kind of all knew. It was all going to land on Pogba's shoulders. If he did well, the team was going to do well. If he didn't, we were going to struggle, and that's what's been going on.
PK, you know, you've played with a lot of great players in the course of your career. And when you get those guys who have this incredible amount of talent – all right, but they are undisciplined, and so they can kind of run wherever they want to on the pitch, or whether it was me, you know, playing on the basketball court. When you get around those players, yeah, they can do these great creative things, but in that team concept, everybody has to move around them, and if they're not given 100% effort, it's very, very difficult for the team to be successful on a consistent basis. Would that be your evaluation of Paul Pogba at this point for Manchester United?
I think the team goes the way Pogba goes, and he's been being left out lately, and I think the team's benefited for that. I mean, if you're out there with a guy that's supposed to be driving the engine, and he's not going into tackles, he's not defending immediately when he loses the ball, the guys on the field think, why should I? Why should I do that? I think leaving him out of the lineup is showing a lot of the kids that, you know, play free, but if you give up the ball, defend. And they've been doing a great job moving the ball. And with Pogba in the lineup, I don't think they have that belief in each other. I think he becomes too much of a lightning rod for their play to let them really play.
Well, and I want to talk about the midfield when we get to the Liverpool build-up here, guys. But Matt, Phil Jones, boy, four games, man. He is just dynamite. And then he'll have that one game, and we know what happens. As Sean Tracy says, you know, Phil Jones, always believe in Phil Jones. Well, he did have a goal, unfortunately went the wrong net. It's just one of those situations with Phil Jones. It just happens 1 in 5, doesn't it?
Yeah, you almost got to deal with the fact that he's going to have that one bad game every so often, because the rest of the time he plays, he's actually plays really well. I mean, what a boneheaded play that was. I think his intention was right. He was trying to track back, and maybe he got beat, so he made the decision to try to make a dive for the ball, and just unfortunately went in. But just an atrocious game from all around, and it's frustrating. So you almost got to accept the fact that if you're gonna play Phil Jones, you're gonna get more good games out of him than not. But man, when it's a stinker, it's a stinker.
Boy, it sure is. PK, going into the next round, we could play Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, Borussia Dortmund, and Porto. Out of that group, guys, I'm going to ask both of you, which one would you want to play the most, and which one do you fear the most? So what would be the best matchup for United, and then which one would you consider the worst matchup for United? PK, let's start with you.
I would love to match up against Real. I think they're in a similar situation where they're kind of struggling a bit, trying to re-identify themselves. The team I wouldn't want to play would be Paris Saint-Germain. Their front line is just silly good, and our back line has been suspect at best. So, and Dortmund would be fun too. See the Captain America play against Man U mm-hmm. would be fantastic as well.
All right, Matt, you team you'd want to face the best matchup, the team you'd want to stay away from the most?
I think right now, actually, Bayern Munich's the team I think I'd want to face the most. They've struggled this year. They're not doing so well in the Bundesliga right now, and they're an aging team, and I think there's an opportunity to maybe knock them off, actually, you know. Prior years, I would not be saying that whatsoever, but this is a year where maybe we could upset them. So I think I'd like to see us play Bayern Munich, and that's always a fun matchup, too, getting to go play there. The team I would not want to face, I got to go agree with Paris Saint-Germain. The team's stacked, and I think with our defensive troubles right now, I think Neymar and crew would just absolutely tear us apart. So that's the last team I'd want to play.
Well, and I have to find that interesting, guys, that nobody said anything about Porto right now. Excuse me, but Porto is a young, up-and-coming team, playing very good football right now. But, guys, the team I would want to play the most would be Dortmund. Dortmund is flying all over the pitch. They're finding ways to win. They really believe in themselves. They're young legs, fresh legs, quick legs. But I also believe with PK, give me Real Madrid right now. If you noticed that Christian Bale just recently scored his first goal like in 10. So he's struggling
Batman?
As well. And so, yeah. I mean, he was at a goal drought for a good long time. So anyway, but it'll be interesting to see. Not any of these teams are as formidable as they once were. And so all four English Premier League teams did move on to the next round. So pretty interesting. All right, boys, here we go. Liverpool preview. The last time we lost to Liverpool in a Premier League match was 2014. But I'll start it with you, Matt. Is this going to be an Anfield 0-0 Jose Mourinho draw where we sit back and we just absorb, or do you think we truly try to open it up?
Well, it's going to be one of those games where it's going to be a slow slugfest. It's not going to be high-octane offense. It's just going to be a really drawn out, you know, us absorbing the attack. The way Liverpool's playing right now is it's attack, 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 and they've got that formal front three, and I think Klopp is very confident right now that he's just going to be able to let them fly at us. And so Jose is going to be very content to sit back and counter when we can and hope that at the very best we get a draw and maybe somehow we eke out a very small win. But it's going to be one of those things where Jose's not going to allow ourselves to be exposed at the back whatsoever, especially with all the injuries we've got going on right now. And it's going to be another kind of makeshift lineup. So you can't really open things up when you got that situation at hand.
Guys, I'm going to get with the injuries here in a minute, PK, but I could certainly see Manchester United playing a back three with cover from mm-hmm. With maybe Fellaini, although I don't think he would be the best bet, but definitely Matic with the cover there. What do you think about that?
I was thinking, if I'm going in this game and I'm Josie, I'm thinking 3-5, or I'm sorry, a 5-3-2, and I think my two wingbacks are going to be flying up and down the line. With Mo Salah and Sané, just the way they're pumping in goals, I think you need to protect the top of the 18, and I think you need three backs and a big, tall, lanky Matic or a Fellaini sitting in front of them, digging balls out, and I think you need that counter with the guys on the wing and put Lukaku up top or Rashford with speed. I see them playing a five-back system, letting the wings fly.
Well, and that's kind of what I thought as well. But, Matt, leading the line, especially with Martial being on the injury list, would you play a strong, physical Romelu Lukaku to go against Virgil van Dijk? Or would you want the speed and pace of a Marcus Rashford? What are your thoughts on that?
I think Lukaku's not – I think Lukaku's the last player you want to put in this game because he can so easily get isolated and alone in this sort of a game when there's just not much offense going on. If you're going to attack, it's going to be on the counter, and you got to be able to turn and do it fast. So I think this is actually a game where you're going to see Lingard and Rashford playing up top. I'd like to see Mata out there with them. I think Mata has done very well at Anfield. He had that big game a couple years ago where he scored a couple goals, and including the game winner. So that's who I would be putting up top. I would do everything to keep Lukaku out of this game.
See, and I disagree. I think Lukaku's out there just to drive Van Dijk all over the place. I think he's out there as a dummy player. I think you can bind off him. I think Lukaku's one job is to make dummy runs and stay off the ball. And then you attack in the spaces. I think if you put Rashford and the other guys out there, you can defend that by formation and be free. I think you need to drive Van Dijk and Lovren out of the middle, and I think Lukaku can do that.
You know, I would put Rashford on the wing and let him do his cutback, especially if Martial can't play. On the other wing, though, you guys have been talking about Juan Mata. No Jesse Lingard on this, PK?
Depends on the game. I think I'd rather see Mata come in late. I think he impacts games better coming off the bench. I think you said he's a smart player. I think he's a guy that needs to take in the game from a distance and figure out how he's going to impact it. And when he gets out there, he has a game plan in his own mind to go do that. I don't think he adapts to the game around him very well, being a starter. I think going in the 60th or the 70th, he's watched enough of the game and says, I can do this to do that. So I'd rather him come in off the bench.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to shoot you the injury list here. And on the injury list, tell me when I give you that
Brett,
name.
Brett, we yeah. only have 8 minutes of the show left. I don't know if we have time for this segment.
Isn't
that's
that
going
to
take
truth,
5 minutes
man?
To say all the names.
I know, and that's the truth. So here we go here, guys. So I'm going to tell you, here's the list, and you guys tell me, if they were healthy, would you want them to be in the starting 11? Here we go, starting off with Diogo Dalot. Matt, should he play or no? I think we've already talked about that.
No. Yeah, no, the moment's too big for him.
Okay, PK, Darmian. Darmian's on the knock list. Would he have played on Saturday or not?
I do not give him the start.
Luke Shaw is on the injury list. Matt, would you start him?
Absolutely. He would be a perfect guy to help set up the counter.
No, I definitely think so, too. Marcus Rojo on the knock list. Imagine that, guys. He's been on the knock list for over a year now. But I'm not even going to ask you guys. I mean, he just had a horrible game against Valencia. So I'm going to give you a pass on that one, PK. PK, Lindelof, he's on the knock list. If he's healthy, does he play?
I don't think so. I'm not confident in him yet. And it's a big EPL game, and he hasn't played big EPL minutes yet.
Okay, Mike Smalling. Matt, what do you say about him?
Yeah, absolutely. If he's ready, he's got to play. He's been our most consistent defender so far this year.
Okay, PK, Scott McTominay.
I want him to play this game. I truly do. The lad needs to learn it. He's a tough-nosed defender. He's an English-style player. I would love to see him get a start in this game.
PK, should we be grooming him to be more of a central defender as opposed to a defensive mid?
I think he's a defensive mid. I don't think he has the aerial toughness to be a center back, but I think he's got the brain and the touch and the rigor to be a defensive mid.
Okay, Anthony Martial has a knock right now, Matt, and so we know we would want him in the lineup. But I am going to ask you this question. Alexis Sanchez, have we seen the last of him?
Yeah, I said this last week. I think the Alexis Sanchez project's done. I think the issues he had, the lack of confidence, and just kind of giving up on things kind of that were happening at Arsenal are now definitely taking place at United, and he just does not seem to be a part of this team whatsoever. That's the biggest problem. He doesn't have a spot within this Manchester United team. I can't see him in this squad. It just there's no fit for him. It's time to move on. So he does not start whatsoever.
PK, is Antonio Valencia's time passed now? You know, he was a great right back there for a couple of years, but it looks like with maybe a falling out with the gaffer and then also maybe with some knocks, it looks like he's lost a step, and that's not a guy you want to put out there against Liverpool. Am I right in saying that, or would you go ahead and throw him out there and say, oh, man, go ahead and take a shot at it?
It would be tough to put him in his first game back. He's missed so much time, so fitness and everything else in a big game like that. Do I doubt his loyalty to the club or his will to play? Absolutely not. He's been great. He's getting to that point, and we've got players that can do the job a little bit better. You know, I hate to say it, but I would not give him the start this game. If he'd been playing all year, yeah, I'd definitely take a look at it. But he's been out for so long. A game of this speed, this pace, and you've got Sané and Salah coming at you, he's not one I'd put out there right now.
So, guys, I'm going to ask you this now. Is Eric Bailly, by default, is he going to be, especially if we play like a back five or a back three, is Bailly the guy, the central defender that you're going to hang your head on against Liverpool? Matt, what do you think?
Absolutely. I've said it the whole year that I'm extremely disappointed that we don't see Bailly play when he's healthy. And I think we're starting to realize that Jose just does not trust him to be healthy throughout an entire year, so he doesn't want to have to depend on him. But I think it's a big mistake. I think when he's out there, he's extremely confident. He's very physical. He plays very similar to what we saw Vidic do. He's not afraid to just go at guys and throw his body around, and he plays the ball from the back. We've been complaining about not having a guy who can do that, but we do have a guy who can do that, and he's been on the bench all year. So this is a game that's not going to throw him off his rocker. He can show up, and he'll be ready to play, and he's not going to be scared or intimidated by what Liverpool can bring him. So I absolutely hope he gets a start. I hope he gets the chance to shine the way I think he can, and hopefully maybe at that point it'll just be a regular decision to put him in.
PK, do you see a 0-0 draw here? Do you see this to be a 3-1 game that we saw at Manchester City?
I think we'll sneak an ugly one like we did against Juventus. I don't see us shutting out Liverpool. They figure out ways to score, and you got Mo Salah. I'm hoping for a 1-1. It could be a 1-0 loss. I don't know. It's gonna be a fun game to watch either way.
Matt, what's your prediction on this match?
It's either going to be a 1-1 draw and just be really ugly, or I hate to say it, we're just going to get absolutely knockered 4-0. It's going to go one way or the other.
You know, guys, what I say all along is I do say Jose Mourinho is a big game manager. Paul Pogba is going to play, and he's going to have to rise to the level of expectation. Romelu Lukaku is going to have to play. Eric Bailly is going to have to play. And those guys are going to have to elevate their game for us to be successful. I think it's going to be very, very difficult to beat Liverpool. We've teased Liverpool fans forever saying this is their year. Guys, this might be their year. But right now we have to figure out. Well, I know. I'm telling you. I mean, if it's not Liverpool's this year, it will never be, because they are playing at the best football they've played since I've ever been a supporter of Manchester United. And so,
they still got to get through December. December
yes,
is when
yep.
they usually start their stumble, and you know we got a game Sunday, so we'll see.
Yeah,
but I will
big,
say this.
The big thing about the Liverpool. the big thing about the local team this year is, yeah, their starting 11 is incredible, but after that, it just it drops off dramatically. So if and when they hit some injuries, which it's going to happen, they could drastically slow down. They could still finish second or third and still end up having a great year, but City's so deep, I can't see Liverpool being able to hang with them as long.
Well, and Chelsea's playing such good football right now. And, guys, I tell you what, Arsenal has really impressed me this year with their free-flowing football, and they're starting to get it figured out in the back. They're playing good football, PK, don't you think?
I was entertained by the game last week or 2 weeks ago whenever we played them. They've always had good – they've had good pieces. They're starting to buy into each other. They're playing very well.
Yeah, most definitely. And so – but – guys, you know, really going to this Liverpool match, you know, I do think it's either going to be 2-1 Liverpool or 1-1 tie or a 2-1 Manchester United. And I'll say it right now, guys, if we win 2-1, it will be two set-piece goals. That's my thought on that. So, Matt, before we wrap up the show here, I want you guys to tell me or I want you to tell me a little bit about Derby Day and then also about what's going on with our scarves.
Yeah, so Derby Day for us at Amsterdam is always a huge game. The Liverpool support's always really big up there, and we definitely show up in force when we play Liverpool as well. So we'll definitely be out back, and so just hope you can come out and join us. We'll be singing. Rhett, I'll let you kind of talk a little bit about the – I'll let you talk about the Ashley Cole shirt that we're going to be raffling off. Since you do such a great job of putting that together for us whenever we do those. So we'll have some stuff going on. We hope you'll join us at Amsterdam. And regarding the scarves, yeah, so Jimmy Blood, as you saw on the group page, he got our scarf finished. We hooked up with a vendor who's going to make those for us. I think the cost is going to be around $15. I want to kind of just double-check my numbers on that to make sure that covers our shipping and everything else. But I think we're looking for about $15, and the turnaround with this company is pretty quick. So I think once we get everybody's order in, it'll be about 2 to 3 weeks after that, and then I can start giving them out to people. So possibly around Boxing Day, we can maybe have some scarves or shortly thereafter. So I'll put some more information on the group page, but just want to let everybody know that that's going to be coming out here in the next few days.
Good deal, man. I'm really excited about that. Great looking scarves. PK, you had a chance to watch Ashley Cole play. Boy, what a fun player for Manchester United he was, wasn't he?
Oh, 100%. The Dwight York and Andy Cole front, those are the teams that made me Manchester United fans. Growing up playing soccer, being a goalie, we would run practices based off the patterns that Andy Cole and Dwight York used to play with Manchester United and that great treble team. So I'll be throwing some cash in trying to win that jersey for sure because, man, that'd be pretty cool to have.
Here I've been calling him Ashley Cole. Ashley Cole is the defender that plays for the Galaxy right now that's about 90 years old, I think. So, you know, sorry about that.
Yeah, Andy Cole's the man with the plan.
Yeah, boy, isn't that the truth, you know, guys. And definitely a phenomenal striker for Manchester United, of course, during those treble years as well. But anyway, we have an autographed Andy Cole kit. And, guys, I just got it in on Wednesday and, yesterday. And, man, it's just sharp. The autograph is on the back, on the number. And it will look great when you frame it. That kit we're going to give away. We're going to be selling the tickets for $5, and all proceeds will go to CJ's Journey, and that is the St. Louis Red Army's designated group that we donate money to. So anyway, so we'd love to see you out there. But guys, more than anything, the Liverpool-Manchester United match is always a fun time. We've won in the past, and when we win, they make excuses on why they lost, and so that's always fun to hear. And we just go, yeah, I know, you know, I feel sorry for you, you know, go out and eat your beans. And so, but you know, at the end of the day, it's just a fun day, guys. Don't you think? It's like one of that Boxing Day, Matt, are like my two favorite days of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got friends who are Liverpool fans, and you know they're tough to be around sometimes. But there's some of those guys I like, so it's fun banter. We have a good time with each other, and it's just about getting together, make a little bit of chatter back and forth, and just enjoying the huge, big, crowded atmosphere for those games. And there's nothing like it, so I'm really excited.
Upstairs, up there, in the Dam's West Wing, and they never dine alone.
Yeah, that's right. Alone.
Oh, you never sing at all. So, yeah, so and that's one of our original chants from a few years ago. But, guys, it's a fun time. Definitely come out. That is a Saturday start at 9 a.m. So come on out and see the Manchester United
Saturday
Liverpool
or Sunday?
Match.
Saturday.
Sunday. This is the sound of Manchester's own Stone Roses letting us know that we are at the end of the show. I'm your host, Red Oldham, along with the rest of the crew, Patrick Kelly, Matt Hutchinson, and Ryan Kazout is out on assignment. We will be back next Thursday at 10 a.m. with another installment of Talk Manchester United with the St. Louis Army. We'll break down the Liverpool-Manchester United derby and all things United. Thanks for joining us. And remember, glory, glory, and United.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.